Greetings and may the peace of Christ be with you. Welcome to Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndale. I am privileged to be your host today. I warmly invite you to enter into another conversation in living the Catholic life. Today in the studio, we have an interesting group. They're from the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and they are ones who are helping sponsor a retreat called In the Presence, which will be in February 7th, 8th, and 9th of 2014 in the Kalamazoo Diocese. And the Presence is in cooperation with the Office of Vocation and Ongoing Priestly Formation, the Secretariat for Parish Life and Lay Leadership, Hackett Catholic Central High School of the Diocese of Kalamazoo. And today, I want to welcome today Susie and Dale Boone, and I want to welcome Andrea and Kristen Perry. It's wonderful to have you all here. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
How was your drive in? I hope good.
Good.
Very good.
Yeah. We talked the whole way.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, you know, this is an interesting conversation because, first of all, I want to ask, on this retreat, the Presence, what age group are we focusing on?
This is retreats open for high school students 9th through 12th grade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, and we're opening it up to other dioceses as well. So Grand Rapids is welcome.
Wonderful.
Gaylord, Marquette, we've invited them as well. So the Diocese of Kalamazoo, all 9th and 12th graders.
We'd love to hear that. Yeah. We'd love to hear that. Now, this is the first one, or have you had others prior to this?
This is our second year.
Second year.
Right. Last year was our first year holding the Presence, and it was just a phenomenal, just exciting, Holy Spirit-filled weekend. And
Wonderful. So
just with such great success and opportunity, that it's something that we are just going to be in prayer about to keep continuing year after year after year.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And it's so needed.
Mm-hmm.
It's so needed in our culture today to bring young people into the presence of God and to spend time with the Lord.
Right.
What a beautiful blessing that is. Well, Susie, you've told us about that. Andrea, what do you have to do with the Presence?
Last year, I brought a group of 13 from the Battle Creek Catholic parishes.
Okay.
And it was such an amazing experience that I wanted to be a part of the team that actually puts it on. So this year, I am helping out with the media aspect.
Wonderful.
With promotions and getting the word out to people all over our diocese and outside of our diocese.
So. Oh, great.
And I love it because last year, it was just fun because Dale and I, we were heavily involved in the retreat. We knew what the retreat was look like, what it's modeled after.
Right.
But nobody else in our diocese knew that. And Andrew was one of the people I kept saying, you just have to come. You just got to try it. Wait till you see Jesus is there, I'm telling you. And you can't put into words what that's like.
Exactly.
And then on the weekend, all weekend
it was
long.
Amazing. Yeah. Even as adults, like we were crying. Watching the Holy Spirit work in the lives of our youth, it was truly beautiful.
Sometimes the people that come kicking and screaming are the ones that become the best advocate for the next one.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
You know, thank you for saying yes, Andrea.
Yeah, right.
That's
absolutely.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Dale, you were involved with your wife in this, I take it.
Yes, and we actually went to some retreats down in Carmel, Indiana that are just like this. And I'm primarily the setup and keep things moving guy over the weekend.
Okay.
So I usually have myself and a couple
of guys. Are you the grunt labor guy?
I do a lot of grunt labor. But, you know, it's a labor of love because to see kids come into this thing at the beginning of the weekend, as you just said, kicking and screaming, and at the end, they're on fire for Christ. It is really cool.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Kristen, how old are you, Kristen?
I'm 16.
16.
Yep.
So tell me, what's your experience with the Presence?
Well, I went to the first one last year, and it was an amazing experience, and it was unlike any other I've ever had.
Okay.
I go to a lot of retreats, considering my mom.
Yes,
considering
minister.
My mom is a youth leader. I go to a lot.
Okay.
And it was different from all of the other ones I've been to.
Okay.
So,
were you reluctant to go to it at first?
You could say that.
I think the story goes, doesn't it? If it's okay. I remember before that you were being a very kind mom, and you said you do ask him to a lot of retreats.
Yes.
You said you understood if this was one, because it was new. Nobody was familiar with it. And I said, no, I'm telling you, Jesus is there. And we both cried at the end, seeing how much you enjoyed your week.
Yes, I did. I did have to make a deal with him. He could pick two that year. If he picked that one, he could pick one other one.
Right.
So, but yes, I think it was well worth his time.
That's wonderful. You know, Kristen, that in today's culture, being a young man going to a Catholic retreat, a Christian retreat, takes a lot of courage. Mm-hmm. It really does, because it sets you apart from a lot of the other children. Not that you want to be set apart, but, you know, they're going to look to you because there's something going to be unique in your very character, in your manhood, that's going to say, you know, I love the Lord, and that's a wonderful thing. So, but you know what I want to do? I want to get a little history of the presents.
Sure, right.
Because these things just don't start on their own. Somebody doesn't just show up one day and people right. come to the door. How did this start?
Well, we are fortunate at St. Anne's. Father Durda came there a few years ago, and I had just become a youth minister at St. Anne's in Augusta. And Father Durda, he has friends down in Carmel, Indiana, and he is familiar with many different types of retreats that go on throughout the United States. He encouraged Dale and I to go down there, and we did. We grabbed some kids, and not knowing anything, four-hour drive. I think one time our bus even broke down. No,
yeah,
we made it down there. Yeah, we made it down there, and we just hadn't experienced anything like that. And it's a 40-hour Eucharistic retreat. We've got to see great keynote speakers. Amanda was one of them.
Amanda Vernon?
Yes,
oh, yeah,
was one with beautiful chastity talk on the beatitude she gave. See, you hear things from people, just beautiful sharing, witnessing the whole weekend. And so Father Durda, we kept going down there, and he said, good, good. Now we want you to do it here in the diocese. I'm like, no, I like just going down there and getting on a bus
and having somebody else do it.
Yeah, the whole thing, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah.
Now he's asking you to put it together.
Right. Yes. And we discussed it for years. And Father Durda knows he's very wise. And yes, we need to bring this to the diocese. The retreat is set up that way. We later found out it's really modeled after Mount 2000.
Okay.
And I guess in the year 2000, a Franciscan Brother Minors put on a retreat, and it still goes on at Mount St. Mary's.
Okay. Yes.
And the idea is that the brothers will come to you and help you put on a retreat and show you the reverence and the respect and the beauty mm-hmm. of a 40 hours devotion, and then you continue having the retreats.
When you say the 40-hour devotion, did you have the Blessed Sacrament exposed at all times?
Yes, we do. And we do, and it's phenomenal. Like, I get why the retreat is so successful, because it's not anything that we do, really, or the speakers, really. It's that these students are sitting with Jesus the entire time and have the opportunity to go. There's a learning curve for a lot of all of us about the reverence and the beauty that needs to mm-hmm. be shown to Jesus. So that part is, I guess, catechetical as well, but it's done just so beautifully that by the end, Jesus is just doing what Jesus has got to do in the 40 hours. So, yes, the priest brings Jesus out in the beginning, and at the end, he's put away. You have the opportunity all night long to go into adoration if that's what you choose to do. But
how beautiful
is
that?
Yeah. Oh,
but Dale, when you went down, did you ever have an idea that you were going to be asked to do something like this in your own diocese?
It's funny. You go through your faith life kicking and screaming all the way, you know, and I can remember going, what? Father wants us to do this, Susie? And then all of a sudden I said, yeah, we can pull it off. And Susie goes, oh, I don't know. I said, we can pull it off. We'll get help. And, you know, when you're doing these retreats, you're working hard.
Yes.
But you don't even realize it, because you go to bed at 1 a.m, you wake up at 6 every day, and you just keep going. And it's amazing the energy that you get from Christ. And you see all these kids there, and you're exposed to it, because I do a lot of work on the floor during these retreats.
Okay.
And I watched, when I went down to Carmel, Indiana, all the work that the men were doing.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, I can do that. I can do that just as well as they can, and just make sure. And they all do that with joy in their hearts. Nobody mm-hmm. was complaining. Nobody was yelling. So I thought, wow, this is a retreat for Kalamazoo. And we so direly need something like that to pull kids away from all the other distractions.
Exactly, exactly.
There's so many things out there for them that want to pull them away from where they really should be, is a relationship with God.
Yeah. You know, and when you're working for the kingdom, it doesn't seem like an effort. There's a joy that goes with it. And it really it brings you to a whole different level of what you're experiencing.
It is,
you know,
true.
And when Dale, you touched upon that too, about bringing these kids. You know, we've said it many times here on the air. You know, in a world today, our kids don't know what silence is. They have been surrounded by so much noise. I said in a previous interview, maybe it's time parents tell the children to take the headphones off sometimes, put the phone down, because they're not hearing God's call. He may be calling, but they're just not being able to, in a noisy world, it's hard to hear. Mm-hmm. And so I can see where this retreat really can put them into the presence of God in some silence, I would imagine. At least not all silence, but I mean, at least there's some time where you have the chance to reflect. Did you find that to be true, Kristen?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Did you hear God speaking to you?
Yes, I did. I mean, you could say that.
Yeah. Wonderful. So, Andrew, when you went down, when you were at the first retreat, the Presence, you didn't go down to the Carmel one, did you?
No, I didn't. I've never been there.
Okay. What was your experience the first time?
Well, I can say this, like, as a mother and as a youth leader, I've always looked for the types of retreats that I was exposed to as a young person. And like, so as my son said, we've sent him to several retreats just saying, you know, like, God's, you know, present there, but there's just this special kind of retreat, and I know it's out there, and I want to expose kids to this. And when we came to the Presence, that was it. The idea that these kids are in front of the Blessed Sacrament all weekend long, and so many of them, they know what adoration is, right. But the idea of going to adoration seems like such a foreign thing to them, or a lot of them don't connect with adoration. And for them to be able to be there and to fully understand and embrace what it means to be in front of Jesus in that way, just kind of unveiled that fear of the unknown, or help them to fully embrace with it, you know, what it means to be a part of adoration. And I think that is really beautiful, because so many of our young people today don't, you know the beauty and the miracles that can happen through adoration. So,
you know, it's a little bit of a tragedy in our church right now, and a sadness that many of the adults don't understand adoration.
That's what's also beautiful about last year's, because we really needed a lot of help and support from people who didn't really know what we were asking for.
Right.
Because it's, again, hard to articulate something that you haven't experienced. Mm-hmm. This year is fantastic, because we have people that, yes, I went there. But, boy, the stirring of the hearts, even on the adults, was just so phenomenal. And for them just to experience Christ, the Holy Spirit moving, and they were just there to serve some food.
Yeah.
They were there just to move some chairs. You know? And,
there's a beautiful book out. It's by Rinerio Cantalamessa. He was the papal homilist to Pope John Paul. He was also his confessor. Can you imagine the Pope has to go to confession, too?
Yeah, that's right.
And so the man would preach to the Pope and everything else, but he wrote a beautiful book, and it's called Sober Intoxication of the Spirit. And think about that. Is that a dichotomy? I think sober intoxication of the spirit.
That's what it's beautiful. Like.
And it is, you know, that's what you're describing. It's this intoxication in sobriety. Mm-hmm. Really, once you've experienced the Holy Spirit in your life, it's unforgettable. Mm-hmm. And it changes you. Mm-hmm. It changes you. Do you find that to be true, Dale?
I do find it to be true. And I was just thinking, as we were talking here, how the kids are so accepting of one another is, I always take that as a lesson when I walk away from these retreats. These kids, they're so accepting of others while they're there. And they're just a good lesson for us to learn that, we can say hi and be nice to people that we meet the first time. As adults, sometimes we get in these little corners where we say, oh, don't want to talk to anybody. But the kids are so welcoming. And when they get this intoxication, as we're talking about, it's just a beautiful thing to see. And I've known kids all through the diocese now just because of these retreats that we go on. And it's just a beautiful thing, because they always are saying, hey, Mr. Boone, how's it going? You know? It's really cool in that regard, and just to see them they get together for retreats, and they all know one another from other retreats.
Yeah.
I think it's just a beautiful thing, and that silence that you talk about is so important, because, like you said, there's so many things going on in their lives today. To get away, to tear away for a weekend, to get that silence, to get that intoxication, just to get that injection of Jesus is beautiful.
Yeah, it is. Kristen, when you were there at the retreat, Had you spent much time in the presence of Christ in adoration?
Well, it was never like a defined time that I'd set apart, but I had been. I mean, I had been to adoration before.
Okay, but this was really an immersion in it, correct?
Yes.
Now, I know you weren't here.
Yeah, but not to put Christian on the spot, but he was someone who told me in the past that he did not connect with adoration, and that was not something he felt was for him. And and what was your experience then when you went there?
Well, I mean, it was really different. It just being able to, at any point in the night or during the day just to be, just to go down and, yeah. and just sit in the presence of Christ yeah. was really amazing.
Yeah. I always say, you know, we all need to go and sit at the feet of the Master. Mm. And that really is what you're doing. When you go to adoration, you're, I picture myself sitting either at the feet of Christ or at the base of the crucifix. One or the other, you're sitting at the feet of the Master, because it's through sitting at the feet of the Master that we begin to gain wisdom. And it's where he starts to speak to our hearts and directs us and guides us to what he expects of us. And, you know, a real man or woman listens to the Master because it forms us.
Right.
And this must be happening right. to these children, right. these 9th and 10th and 11th graders and 12th graders.
Oh, it's amazing to watch them go through it. And I want to make it clear that when this retreat, you don't show up and it is silent and you're just sitting there for 40 mm-hmm. hours. I can see kids right now going, oh, I'm so not going to that. Adults, come on.
Yeah.
Well, we would. No. but the retreat... Jesus is there in the monstrance in the center on a burning bush. And so talks are given reverently. We had the Franciscan Brothers Minor host last year, and Father David Mary is phenomenal, crazy, good.
Fun.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's what we need because
passionate,
our faith.
Like, passionate, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, so while you're in your adoration, he's kind of explaining this to you. So it's almost as if... Jesus is doing what he's got to be doing, but you're learning and absorbing, and we're praising and worshiping, and we're learning, and we're going into eating, and we're doing things. So the adoration is happening, but it's almost like Jesus is just on a retreat with us.
Yes. So it's not a silent retreat.
No.
But there is time when silence is required during the retreat, mm-hmm. when talks are going on, mm-hmm. and maybe when you're sitting in the presence for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But then is there other activities? Or I know they eat meals together and everything else. You obviously had them sleep there.
Right. It's a lock-in. Once you show up on Friday, you're staying the entire weekend until Sunday when you get home. A little nerve-wracking at first, and so funny. Great stories, like kids wanted to go. It wasn't what they were expecting, mm-hmm. you know. And the moms, they were helping in the kitchen, so they were kind of there.
Yeah.
And they were talking to me, they're not really engaged. By noon on Saturday, made 20 new friends, having the best time of their life. Let's go say a rosary mm-hmm. together. The moms are crying like, a rosary? We didn't even know they had one.
I can hear the first thing the kids were saying to their mom.
Yeah.
And I'll direct this to Kristen. Oh, Mom, there's not going to be enough food there.
Yeah.
How did you do food-wise?
It was the... The meals were very great.
Okay,
they
good. Did you go away hungry?
No, never.
good.
Okay, that's encouraging right there.
We work on that. It's one of our big points. We want to make sure you're well fed and enjoy it.
Who donates the food?
We actually had a variety of groups. EMA Enterprises helped with one meal, and that was fantastic. We had Barb Nitchman, a mom. She cooked. Remember, we had a great dinner provided for you guys. She cooked for hundreds of people.
Wow.
See, and just because she wanted to, great, you know, and it was a nice affair that evening.
And that's a beautiful ministry when you cook for people.
Yeah.
That really is.
Yes, yeah.
That's wonderful to hear. Is this pretty much sponsored by donations?
Right, it is. We worked on getting sponsorship, and that's what we continue to do. And then the cost of the fees of the students. Their fees pay and put on the retreat.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So as you're starting to form this retreat for this year, how many people are working? How many actual bodies working for this retreat?
Well, that's a good question. Father Durda also, and we're emulating this from Mount 2000, and they made a nice graphic chart, a flow chart, right? Yes, yeah. Right. And a committee was formed. So then it wouldn't be just one person's responsibility. Okay. And I vice-chaired it. And last year, since Dale and I knew what was going on, we did have a lot of responsibilities. But now that people understand what it looks like, it's been beautiful.
We've
been, Andrea's like, I get it. Yes, I can promote this. We'll do this. So she's been... taking care of the promotion. So we have a committee, I think, of about 10 people.
Okay.
And then that, you know, like we have the food lady, Lisa. God bless you, Lisa. She takes care of the food, and she gets volunteers to help with her food, and Wonderful. We ask for volunteers, and it's on our website, as a matter of fact, volunteers.
What is the website?
Thank you. It is thepresencekalamazoo.org.
The Presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E.
Yep,
thepresencekalamazoo.org.
Yes.
thepresencekalamazoo.org.
Thank you.
Dale, as you're going through this, you're probably looking for other fathers to help in many ways sometimes.
Yes, you know, I am a Knight of Columbus. And
I am too.
I encourage the Knights, especially at St. Anne's Council, to give us a hand, and also the Kalamazoo Diocese. I know that we've had some donations from the Knights there in the area. I think it's good that we have men a part of that weekend.
Yes.
Number one, to show their support for the youth. And yeah. Number two is it touches everybody that was there, as we all talked about.
Yeah.
So I think it's very important.
You know, we know that men are called to lead their families also. It's, mm-hmm. it's an understanding, a biblical understanding of men and women being equal, each having separate tasks, and the man really should be leading, particularly mm-hmm. his sons and daughters, into a relationship with Christ. So should mothers. That's powerfully important that we all do that. But, you know, we need to see that these men, because I have a CAFA conference we do every year here in Grand Rapids. You have one in Kalamazoo, I
yes,
know, a men's conference.
Yeah.
And really it's an understanding of trying to, and the women's conference, they have their women's conference in Detroit, which is powerful also, but these are really helping us to be formed as parents to
right.
bring our children into the presence. Absolutely.
Right.
Bring them into the presence. So do men, when they volunteer, well, how many hours can they expect to work if they volunteer?
They're more than welcome to work all 40 with us.
Okay.
But, you know, if I can get them a couple hours a day, that'd be excellent.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to break it into two-hour segments of time that I need help.
Okay.
And there's particular times on Saturday that needs help more than, let's say, the first day that we're there, because we're pretty much set up that day.
Okay.
And then it's really Saturday. We have to move chairs. We've got to get set up for the different talks.
Right.
We do have a band. Nobody mentioned that yet,
oh, yeah.
but we have a band.
And
they're very good.
Wonderful.
And they do a great
yeah.
job, and they just really are into it.
Oh, that's
so
great.
They're into their faith, and they're just a lot of fun to be around, and they keep the kids going. And it's a funny story. Last year, we were trying to look for some games for the kids, and the one member of the band goes, I know a couple games we can play with the kids. So he's doing all these crazy games. Remember that, Christian, in the lunchroom? They're doing
yes.
Gorilla, or
yeah,
I can't
yeah,
remember.
Yeah.
But the one band member looks at me and goes, I didn't even know he knew how to do this stuff. So they're a pretty talented
off.
Group, that band.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, you know, now Holy Family Radio is going into Kalamazoo now. And how exciting is that?
Yes.
How is the response from the Diocese of Kalamazoo, your parishes? How are they responding to the presence? Andrew, how is your parish responding?
I think everybody's pretty excited about it this year. I was just telling Susie that now that we've had it 1 year and we were able to start talking about it quite a bit sooner than we did last year, that people are on board. I've heard that, you know, whole parishes of kids are coming out this year, which is exciting.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
No, wonderful, and encouraged by their parents to go there. And how are your priests perceiving it?
Oh, that's great, because last year, I think for many of the priests, we offer confession like several times during the retreat as
well. Oh, that's
wonderful. Oh, it's fantastic. That is so fantastic. And we're pretty confident, like 98% of the kids went to confession. So the priests are there and they're seen. I mean, yeah. They're right there on the floor. And so I think for even our priests, it might have been a little loud with some music going on.
Uh-huh.
I think they
don't care.
No,
I
think they were very moved by it. So, no, we're getting quite a bit of support from And it's a great call even to vocations, and the
yeah.
vocation of marriage and religious life.
Yes.
We talk about that on the weekend, and they get to see our seminarians are there
wonderful.
The entire weekend, so they get a chance just to hang out and talk with these young men who are discerning. This year we're hoping to have some different orders coming in. We've been to retreats before, and it's the first time some of our girls ever met a sister.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
So they can sit down. They get, I couldn't wait to ask, doesn't your hair itch? Doesn't it itch?
And all the practical questions.
Yeah, that's right. Forget that theological stuff.
Yeah.
But our girls really love. They're like, we've never met a sister before. And we think, wow, so this year we're trying to pull in some different groups. And it's no pressure. Nobody's pressuring you or making you sign up. It's just...
Have you contacted the Sisters of the Eucharist and the Dominicans in Ann Arbor?
Oh, sure, yes. Yeah.
What a wonderful group they are.
They are, aren't they?
They're famous. They're like books. So hopefully next year, 2015.
And they are on fire for the Lord, the young women, and just a great testimony. You know, that's important because you humanize these seminary and the sisters that way, that we see that they're just like us. Mm-hmm. They're human beings who are answering a vocation, answering a call from God, and they're fulfilling God's plan for them. And that's it. Kristen, what do you think when you see these guys?
Well, I mean, it's kind of awesome just to see them down with us and participating with us. And I mean, they are just like they young adults.
They're hanging out.
Exactly.
Answering their vocation.
Do you have a chance to, is there some place where the boys can like play basketball? Do they have anything like that at your retreat?
Well, that's funny because the boys said that. They wish they had a little bit more time to run around and play.
Okay.
And I love the Franciscan Brother Miners. They have no shoes. They don't wear shoes.
Right.
And it's February. It's freezing cold outside. And they were like, we want to run outside and like play. But because of like, it was our first year in protocol issues. I'm like, we can't just let people run out.
No, and I understand that.
So this year we are working on that, you know, giving a little bit more time for energy to be expanded and stuff. But it's a busy weekend.
But it was pretty amazing during the retreat this past year. They found a football, and they were all playing football, like, in between sometimes, just as we were setting up all the Brothers Miners.
Oh, yeah. The brothers were.
The Brothers Miners. And it was good because they got with the young guys there, and they're just – one of us, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And they just wear a little different clothing and no shoes.
Exactly.
So they were a great group to have there. They were a lot of fun, and they had a lot of energy.
I was remiss in asking, where did the first the presence take place?
It's at Hackett Catholic Central High School in Kalamazoo.
Okay.
And they've worked out great with us. If you go to our website, the contact information is on there. And Hackett is for the site purpose only. So we just would be grateful if you didn't call them because they're there for school and we're using their facility.
Right.
And it's a great location because it's off the Highway 94. So everybody coming, it's a great location. And our diocese is wide. So it's really a nice location in the middle of our diocese. So it's something everybody can reach.
And I would imagine people bring sleeping bags and all. Is that how you do?
Yep, sleeping bags, air mattresses. If you're smart, bring an air mattress.
Yeah.
But it is for
remember
sleeping.
That. Bring an air mattress.
Air mattresses are a must.
Yeah.
Or a plus.
That's
but
an important one. Tell me, and just for everybody chime in on this, you've probably had feedback from other parents of their children have attended this retreat. What has been the response? I mean, their response that they've seen in their children when they come back from this?
I think their children have seen a kind of reinvigoration, you know, like to be recharged in their faith.
Okay.
And really looking to have that continue, you know what I mean? So they're excited, like, to know that there's the more retreats we have like this throughout the year, the more opportunity for kids to kind of, like, get refocused or, you know, have that deeper conversion within their faith. So.
You know, I would think too, Andrea, you know, the kids in the classroom are a little intimidated by displaying their faith very much with all their peers. But when they're in a group that is there for one particular reason, you start to see that, gosh, he's like me and she's like me, and she's willing to pray out loud and really fulfill the obligation of really seeking the Lord. Kristen, do you see that in people that you thought maybe weren't as ready for that as you thought they were?
Well, yeah, all the time, actually. I go to a Catholic high school, so I am a little bit more immersed in the Catholic way of life than some of my other peers are. But it is surprising a lot of the time when I see people just out in the open praying or exposing themselves to Christ, because it is a little bit of a culture shock.
It is. Now, let me ask you this. You brought up a point there, Kristen. Is this open only to Catholics, or could somebody from a public school come to this?
Oh, definitely
anybody.
Public
yep.
school.
Anybody can come.
And any faith, too. We actually have brought down to Carmel, Indiana, we brought students of other faith, and they love it.
Wonderful.
You know?
Now, I wanted to make that point because people who may be listening to us on Holy Family Radio, even if you're not attending a Catholic school or if you're Catholic, this may be a chance for your son or daughter to be exposed to a different culture, mm-hmm. into our Catholic faith. Not that you're there to convert them, but to give them an understanding of who we are as Catholics and why we so fervently believe in the Eucharist.
Right, yeah. Right. We do sing. We do praise God.
Yeah. That's
we
right.
We're good.
We're just like the rest of them, right?
That's right.
So what is the if you're projecting for numbers, what are you hoping to accomplish this year?
I forget. Father Durda is always very ambitious. If we could get 300 students there this year, I think that would be phenomenal. Last year, we had about 150 students.
Okay.
Down in Carmel, Indiana, they're at 1,000.
Wonderful.
So, it gives us something to shoot for, I think. Let's keep doing this.
Yeah, we're not going to limit it at 300.
Yeah.
We'll take as many as want to come.
Yes,
just keep them coming.
That's right.
You know, and of course, as you plan this, the logistics of it, as you get more and more, it takes more help, right?
That's right.
Brian, thanks for saying. I wanted to say about the help again, because the volunteer form is on our website, which is thepresencekalamazoo.org, and it lists like all the help that we need. And the domestic church that you had brought up about parents, maybe if your student doesn't want to attend, maybe that is something you want to come and check it out, fill out that form. You do have to have some Virtus training and background check. So I just want to stress that, because we want to make sure that all of our students are in the safest environment that we can provide.
Exactly.
And so if somebody's not sure how they would help, what are some of the different ways that people can come and volunteer? Because I know we for sure need people who can be in adoration at least an hour throughout the entire time.
Yes.
And we need people to help out in the kitchen with food.
Right. And to help us set up and break it down before and after. I mean, if...
Now, do they have to have training first before they go to this?
No.
No.
Okay. It's barking orders.
Okay.
Grab that chair.
Just want to be sure about that. Just want to be sure. So give our listeners an understanding of what the typical time, this 40 hours, what this typical time would look like. What's the process?
There's a welcoming, you're coming in, and there's always that nervousness with students.
It starts on probably a Friday?
Right.
Friday evening at 7 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah.
7.
Well, registration come in at 6 o'clock, and it starts at 7 o'clock, this year we have Father Stan Fortuna coming.
Oh, yeah,
So we're looking forward to his arrival, and he's our keynote for the whole weekend.
Oh,
so
wonderful. You'll enjoy him.
Oh,
we've seen him before.
Well, actually, we saw him in Carmel, but he had like a guest speaking time. He's really our keynote for the whole weekend.
Okay.
So all the work that we do is going to be behind the scenes. You won't even see us. So Father Stan Fortuna, there will be an exposition.
Does that start Friday night?
It does start Friday night and opportunities for confession. But lots of singing, lots of talking, lots of just getting to know each other type of events. And then a good late night snack. Everybody breaks down and goes to sleep, except the guys.
Of course.
They never sleep.
They do stay up pretty late.
What time do you stay up till, Kristen?
Well, I always sleep, so I went to bed pretty early.
He's a committed sleeper, right?
But there are some guys staying up sort of late, aren't there?
That is very true, though. Yeah, my older brother didn't. I think he slept only like 2 hours the whole week.
The whole weekend.
So, yeah.
That's okay. But he's probably talking with the other guys and making sure everybody's behaving themselves, right?
Yeah. They have fun. They get tired. They're open to the Spirit then, you know?
Yeah.
If that's what they choose to do, you should see how open they'll get. So we gather for breakfast. The day is included with talks and singing.
Just so they know, when you gather for breakfast, it's all prepared for them.
That's right.
Yes.
Right.
And so they're kind of like cafeteria style?
No, actually, I think EMA provided a great burrito buffet, didn't they? Breakfast burrito buffet one morning. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
I'm not for sure. Yeah, breakfast was delicious.
It was delicious.
I feel bad. I missed one.
I remember it being good. I don't remember specifics.
And then some activities during the day. Then lunch. opportunities for confession. There's like a store open where you can buy some of like Father's Day and the band's information and things from the what's going on. But it leads up, the talks prepare you for what happens in the evening. And the evening is just
Saturday evening
is this opportunity for adoration. So the environment is set where it really brings you down to just time really with yourself.
Yep.
And Father David Mary did a talk. I think it lasted like an hour and a half, but it went by fast. Yeah. I'm not, because I don't want to say it was really long, but a whole crucifixion talk.
It went through the passion.
Almost the entire passion. Yeah.
And that was really impactful for a lot of young people. Yeah.
And the adults as well. I saw a lot of them up there.
Yes.
Did he bring it alive? Did he really?
He brought it alive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he brought it alive.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was a visual presentation. Like he had another one of the team members, actually our MC for the weekend,
Tommy Schultz.
Yeah,
was Jesus.
And it was a great dramatic.
He spit in Jesus's face. He whipped him. Tommy had some whip marks on him, and it was very powerful. But what he's doing is just really getting you in a place. And then the priest, Father David Mary, it would be Father Stan Fortuna, takes the monstrance in Jesus, and he walks to each student personally, right in front of you, and gives you that moment, and then steps to the next student, next student, and the next, and then that is where it's just an extremely powerful hour and a half, which you're not saying anything or doing anything. You're just receiving. You're just sitting there being open.
And if you're open, you're going to get it.
Yeah.
If you're open to the Lord, he's gonna flood you.
That's a powerful moment there Saturday night, isn't it, Christian?
Yes, definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I see a lot of kids. There's a lot of crying going on, which is good because it's
or not.
Or there's tears of healing. There's laughter. There's a lot of joy there, and there's a lot of healing.
Yeah,
as well.
and tears can be tears of joy because it can be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It can be overwhelming. This time I've sat in adoration. I know I'm welling up because, you know, there really is this sense of awe that this God loves us this much that you sit in His presence. What a wonderful time it is. So as they go through this Saturday, and you keep feeding them, obviously, because
eat again.
Do they have Mass on Sunday?
Yeah, and actually there's Mass on Saturday as well. We make sure we give them the opportunity for confession on Friday and Saturday, and in case students need that before going to Mass. And then also through adoration on Saturday, and then Mass on Sunday celebrated with our bishop.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so the bishop comes for our closing Mass, and then the program is we get to meet our seminarians and just to support the ones. That's a great time, you know, that they say they're from your church, and you get to, yes, you know. So the seminarians are closing us up.
You know, that's something about when you see the communion of all the people, that you realize this universal, our Catholicity, this Catholic Church is much bigger than just our parish. It's universal, and then you see the bishop, you see the seminarians, you see those who are going to lead in the future. You see people from other parishes. You start to see that I'm not alone. This is a big church, but this is the church that Jesus left behind to draw us through there. Kristen, when you go to these conferences, do you have a sense of your Catholic faith drawing you into the mystery at the altar? In other words, the consecration into.
Well, every retreat is different, so there's always a different feeling, but I do get from a lot of them that the sense of wonder and awe in the altar and in the tabernacle, definitely.
Has it changed your idea of the Mass at all?
Absolutely. I mean, before really immersing myself in many of the retreats I've gone to, the Mass was the Mass. I went every Sunday. It was a every week thing. Since I've kind of grown in my faith and everything, it seems more of a thing I should value. It seems of more value than just something I have to go to.
Yeah, it really is an understanding of the mystery that we enter into every Sunday when we go to Mass, because Christ is brought alive on that altar. And if our Catholics would understand, our Catholics understand that this is not just a 45 or 50 minute or 60 minute Mass. This is really the God becoming present as Jesus on that altar. And what a wonderful thought that is. what a wonderful thought. Dale, as you go through these retreats, has it changed you?
Definitely.
Let me
so.
Tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
It's changed me definitely. I'll
In
tell you.
In a beautiful way. I mean,
I can remember the first one I went to. I'm going, why am I going on this? But every, you know, when I'm there as a youth minister, I'm thinking to myself, I got to start living this stuff that I'm telling the kids they need to do. Mm-hmm. So I can remember going down.
That's hard to
do. It is hard to do, but I can remember going down to Carmel for the first one, and it wasn't this one, but it was a one like it, and just falling to my knees and asking God for forgiveness. And I can remember I really needed to go to confession. I hadn't been in a long time, and I went back to go to confession, and it was an unbelievable experience because when I came back, I felt clean.
Yeah.
And I apologized to my wife and my kids and all those things that I have done wrong in my life. Mm-hmm. And it totally changed me right there. Mm-hmm. And it was hard because I can remember my son, Jacob, telling me years later, he goes, Dad, he goes, before when you said something, I really didn't take you seriously. He goes, but now you're authentic mm-hmm. because you believe in Christ and you follow him.
Isn't that wonderful?
And so that's changed my life. And I want people to have that experience. Yeah. I want these kids to have that experience because I didn't have it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And if I can get somebody to have that experience, not just me because they're going to go see Jesus because he's the one who does the work. I'm just getting them there.
Yeah.
And it's just,
but you're cooperating.
Yes, yes. The cooperation is there.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful to see that. You want to see that. You want to see kids come to Christ and look at it and go, wow, this I got to change.
Yeah.
Which change is hard. But we do.
And we want our kids to take ownership of their faith and yes. for it to not be the faith that their parents are making them be a part of, but that they actually embrace it as their own. And so when you provide a retreat like The Presence, this is a perfect opportunity for them to really feel that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ on for themselves
yes.
and then embrace their Catholic faith,
yes.
you know, as an individual.
And are you a cradle Catholic?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Just, I always wondered that because, you know, we have many converts who are very strong in their faith. Cradle Catholics sometimes take a little bit longer to get into that position.
Fortunately, I grew up in a really vibrant Catholic community over in Ann Arbor and was given a wonderful young experience, too, and was sent to many retreats as well as a young person. So for me, I always had a longing in my heart to give that as a young person, to then give that to young people.
Yeah.
And so to have someone like Susie say and Dale say yes to Father Derda to bring this is amazing because I couldn't even comprehend that myself, being able to say yes to bring a retreat like this. And the fact that they did, that's inspiring to me. And I know that if they say yes, then I can say yes to help bring this type of retreat to our young people.
Let me ask the same question I asked Dale. Has it changed you?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely it has. It's brought me closer in my faith, you know, just giving me hope for, you know, our kids for the future.
Yeah.
You know, it is. It's hard to look out there and see, you know, where our parents are at and where our parents are at then is a reflection of where our kids are at. So that's even kind of like further away from truth. And so it's beautiful. Like now we can, you know, there's a lot of obstacles in trying to get kids to do these kind of retreats because you have to drive 4 hours, 8 hours
right.
to get to these kind of things. And now having it so close right here, mm-hmm. It's inexpensive. You know, it's like, you know,
$70.
There's no reason why you couldn't exactly. give your child this opportunity. It's right here. You know, it's going to be an hour, 2 hours away
yes.
for anyone that's coming to this retreat as opposed to so many hours yeah. away. And, yeah, absolutely.
So, Susie, you've seen change in your husband.
Oh, both of us.
So,
both of us.
How about you?
I think Father Derda has just blessed us because we went always as youth ministers, but really not actively living our faith, but yeah. just doing. And I would invite like adults to come and help because maybe we are just, you know, this high school level of retreat is mm-hmm. fantastic. And Dale and I, it's changed our lives. It's built up our marriage. It's changed our marriage. It's made us, we're great parents. We used to not be.
If we ask our son Preston,
yeah,
maybe.
He's, no, they were great. They will. No, we were terrible parents before. We did not have a good marriage before. But attending the Presence and Antiochs and Steubenville's and the high school retreats with high school students, the Holy Spirit doesn't care if you're a high schooler or not. He's working on you no matter what. We're even providing this year some help at the Presence for adults because we find the adults who are coming, they're going through something,
wonderful,
too.
Yeah.
So we'll have someone there who's been able to talk to you see how you're processing all this and moving on. So no way, we're totally blessed. I beg people just to go. Just
you know, Susie, you brought up a good point and about marriage and how this can be, because when a couple does not have in the center of their marriage the presence of Jesus, it becomes just a humanist attitude in your marriage, and things can not resolved. You argue about anything and everything because you're not fully committed to the Lord. And so when your hearts are changed for Christ, all of a sudden you look at each other differently, don't you?
Very different.
You bet. We're centered around Christ now, which is just a beautiful thing because now, you know, I look at Ephesians 5, you know, how I've got to offer it up. All up for my wife.
That's right.
And you try to live that every day.
That's right. Oh, Susie's got her fist up right now. Hey, oh, man.
It's a two-way street.
Oh, yeah. I'm working. I haven't read Ephesians 5 yet.
Yeah. It really does change marriages when you come into the presence of God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you say you were bad parents, but you were probably typical parents in this modern culture.
Sure. That's exactly it. We enjoyed our sports. We didn't spend too much time with our children. We just thought the CCD program would teach them everything to know about God. We brought him to church, but fought on the way there and fought on the way home. Mm-hmm. And we're
probably fighting with the people in the parking lot to get out because he wanted to be first out of there.
Now we're the last ones out of the parking lot.
Yeah, you're right.
And the bulletin was more exciting than the homily.
Right. it used to be. Right. But no, very changed now. Very changed. Just feel and very blessed. What I guess we always thought we were afraid of, it was just a blessing, just a true healing on our marriage and on our children. So. Yeah.
You know, and those that are listening today to this testimony, I'm going to call it, about the presence, I hope married couples are listening to this, too, because it's an understanding that through your children you can be blessed. Mm-hmm. Many times, by them attending this conference, you will see a change in them. And if you have the opportunity to go to this, I mean, you can also come into the presence of God and change things in your life. Because, you know, that we all know the classic definition of insanity. We do the same thing over and over again.
Expect different results.
Expect different results. Right. Maybe it's time we change.
Right.
We change the way we do things because, you know, some things just don't work well. Isn't that right, Dale?
Right.
That is true. Some things just don't work well. And if you, one of the great quotes that I hear, and I can't remember where it was, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plan.
That's right. Yeah.
So, now that I'm going on God's plan, my family, my community, my job, everything that I do works so much better because I have that center.
Yeah.
I didn't have the center before.
You know, and another thing, and I speak to all of you here, when these retreats are put on by people who believe what they profess and they live it, there is a difference in the whole atmosphere of the retreat. Wouldn't you think that to be hold true?
Yes, absolutely.
Because then you become a part of the dynamic interaction with these kids. Because, you know, if you're tepid, you really can't evangelize to them. And you can't tell them how your life has changed, Dale, if you haven't had that.
Had life for change, right.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, because last year, I know, we didn't have videos. We didn't have a lot of flashy things. And I love Father David Mary. So what? We've got Jesus here.
Yeah.
So what? We have Jesus here. And all the little quirky things that people would not have realized went wrong.
Exactly.
So what?
Yeah.
So
you know,
what? Jesus is here.
When I prepare people for marriage, it's exactly what I tell them. They get tied up in all these flowers and the gowns. And I said, first of all, enjoy the journey to the altar. But when you get there, it doesn't matter.
Right.
All that stuff is extreme. It doesn't matter. What matters is to stand in the presence of Christ and make that commitment, a sacramental relationship, and everything else will fall in place. That's what you're talking about.
Right.
You're talking about really just trusting God.
Mm-hmm. And we do that when you throw a retreat on.
Great metamorphosis that you see when you go to these retreats. You know, it starts out Friday night. They're all awkward. And it's just an invitation. Hey, come to get to know Jesus. You put them in the monstrous, and it's like, I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it. But you look at it, and you just see the kids start going, well, maybe there is something there.
Yeah.
And then by Saturday, it's like you can see them moving even more. Saturday night is a big night of movement.
Yeah.
When the monstrous is going around from kid to kid to kid, from the adult to the kid or whoever's there, it's a beautiful thing because you just see that transformation. And then Sunday, they're on fire. They're saying, hey, I'm going to be your Facebook friend. Give me this. Here's my email. You know, we'll Instagram each other.
Yeah.
So it's really cool to see, and just to see all the excitement about the whole weekend. Yeah, did I? It's Instagram. Did I say the right thing? Yeah. Okay. See, I'm in. I got it. I'm in it.
He's so trendy.
But, that's right. Yeah.
And I would imagine that you see a whole change in the atmosphere and the mood of the kids from Friday night even to Saturday night about the silence they come into or the reverence they start to put in when they're in the presence of Christ, because they're starting to get an understanding that Christ is present in that room. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful thought that is.
Yeah, they recognized that from the onset, I think, and it was really awesome to see how reverent that they all were the entire weekend. It was really pretty amazing. Yeah.
If you could encourage parents right now to think about this, or even what would you say to them?
Oh, you know what? Because I've spent 2 years begging and encouraging people,
begging,
and this is what I say. All I could tell you is that Jesus is going to be there.
Yeah.
I can say it, I can try to describe it to you, I can do all those things, but I can tell you is that Jesus is going to be there.
You know, I use the analogy of people who are expecting a child, and they think and know what it's going to be like to have a child, and you say, you don't have a clue.
But that's what
you can be pregnant, but you don't have a clue until that baby comes out and you start to raise it. It's the same thing you're talking about.
Right.
When you say Jesus is present, it's like being pregnant.
Yeah.
I think I know what it's like. No, you don't.
Yeah.
You've got to come and experience it. Andrew, what would you tell them?
I would just say, if you ever have an opportunity to put your child in the presence of Jesus Christ, why wouldn't you take that opportunity to do it?
Nice.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, it's a good thought. That's a good thought. And, you know, you're...
Can't be a bad thing.
No.
Right.
No. You What's know? The worst thing that can happen?
It couldn't hurt.
Yeah.
Right.
They're going to get fed for 2.5 days.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Even if you truly believe that your kid is, you know, their heart is hardened or they're not open, that, you know, God has ways of working beautiful miracles.
He does.
And we even saw that. We saw that through the weekend. Kids came heads down, trying to sleep through the first two talks.
Yes.
And by the end, we're praising and worshiping with the rest of them.
How
you know,
wonderful.
Crying and all of that. So,
how wonderful.
You know, hearts can be opened.
Yeah.
So,
Kristen,
have them come.
You're the young man here in the group. If you had to talk to other youth right now, what would you tell them?
Ooh, that's hard.
I know. Put you on the spot.
Dude, go ahead.
Well, I guess all I could say is that, I mean, they really don't know what it's going to be like. So that if they're given the chance to do something like this, even if it's their only chance that they ever take, they should do it.
Wonderful. Good thought.
Nice one.
Dale, what would you say?
I'd say, you know, Susie and I talk about this a lot. We always want the best for our children. Always. And God is the best for our children. And to go have an intimate encounter with him over a weekend, just to give up that time.
Right.
Give it up.
Yeah.
And just let him come or force him to come. We'll take that too.
That's right.
Because it's they'll see a change. They will see a change.
Yeah. You know, I just want to say that I'm encouraged by you all here. It's a ministry that is a wonderful and profound understanding of bringing our children to God and bring them to Christ. And it's not easy because it takes courage on your part also because, you know, you are being set aside for this particular ministry and you're being called to be countercultural to the world because this is not something the world does. And this is something that is really different from everybody else. So we're going to be praying for you.
Thank you.
We need those.
All the people in Holy Family Radio listening.
Most of all, we could use prayers for us and the students on that weekend.
Right.
If you could do anything, pray on
Absolutely.
February
17th. Is there a number they can call?
Or it's on the website. Yeah.
Okay, let's give me the website again.
Okay, it is thepresencekalamazoo.org.
Okay, and we would encourage our listeners to go out if you want the experience for your child to really come into the presence of Christ for a weekend. Again, that's going to be February 7th, 8th, and 9th in Kalamazoo, and it's going to be at Hackley Catholic Central High School, which is easy to get to.
Yeah.
It's not a far drive for any of us here in any of the listening area here. And I would encourage you all, because I'm looking at these smiling faces and I can see the joy in their face for really loving the Lord. And it is wonderful to have you here. And as I said, we'll be praying for you. We'll be praying all through February that hearts will be changed and that the youth may find the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you all for being here. I want to thank you, Susie. Thank I want to thank you, Andrea, Kristen, and Dale. Thank you for being here. Please keep up the good work. It's important because we need you for the kingdom. We need to bring all our loved ones into the kingdom of God.
Thank you. And you thank as you. Well.
Thank you. You as
well. Thanks
thank
for you. Having us.
You're
thank
so
you
welcome.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
God bless all of you, and be well and travel home safely.
Thank you.
God
thank
bless.
You.
You have been listening to Living the Catholic Life with your host, Deacon Jim Thorndale, on Holy Family Radio. If you'd like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.